The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man
looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. What is today? Today is a Friday on a Tuesday. Is that what this is?
Today.
Am I doing my math right there, big guy?
Yeah. Friday on a Tuesday.
And why is it a Friday on a Tuesday?
Because they play on Thursday. Not happy about the late game. They're the late game?
They are the late game. They're the primetime game. Because the Lions always
Detroit,
play.
Detroit
goes first.
And then Dallas.
Yeah. And then, yep, always. Those two will never change. They'll rotate the primetime game. So.
I think I'd want the first game. Because the first game would bring you right to where you're probably getting ready to eat Thanksgiving meal. What time are you eating?
Oh, we always eat early. We eat around 1.
Ah, that's too early. That's bad, because then you got to eat dinner, Gabe. Come on, what are we doing?
What do you
here?
Mean? You don't know. You don't totally have to eat dinner.
Move. You're hosting for the first time. I understand it, but that's an amateur move. No. You kill 2 birds with 1 stone, right, Joshy? What time are you serving your meal up?
Usually we eat later, but it's earlier 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good move.
Well, yeah. Chewy, this is when my family eats Thanksgiving. It's always around 1 o'clock. Because some of us have to work. Some of us are working.
Why?
4 o'clock.
You?
I'm definitely not talking about you.
Keith?
Yeah, he's always working.
All right,
Keith
I'll give you a
pass
working. There.
Well, no, but like that's what. Okay. So we were going to get into this later for Thanksgiving, but
not on Chewy's watch.
Yep, not on Chewy's watch. So. Usually we have, like, Thanksgiving is always the big night's old holiday. Like, that's, I missed it last year because the Packers played that early game on Thanksgiving in Detroit, so I wasn't able to go up to Horicon for it. Where we typically host Thanksgiving or have for the last decade or so, my parents are currently living in that space as a temporary place to live as the finishing touches are put on the house that they are building. So there is no big night's old family Thanksgiving. So my parents, one of my uncles, going to come to Milwaukee. So I am going to host them. But traditionally, we always eat night's old family Thanksgiving is around 1 o'clock.
All
so
right.
I'm keeping that tradition. What beef do you have with the station? Is it the fact that I'm just glad you didn't hit a reply all last night. I'm just glad you didn't see that.
They tried. Someone tried. They tried. Did you get the email where they tried to get me to respond?
What
it was
mean?
Another name, and I'm like, no.
But that's the man's name.
I know, but they didn't. That was a useless email. All they were doing was baiting me to do it again. Didn't fall for the bait because the name wasn't good enough. Let me get back to my beef.
Okay.
Okay? We have to work Friday.
We don't have...
The only ones that are working on...
We don't have to work on Friday.
But it would benefit the station if we did work on Friday.
Correct.
Are you working on Friday?
I am working on Friday.
Gabe?
I am working on Friday.
All right. So me and you are working on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, you hear me out. So we have to work on Friday when no one else in the station is working. It's just me and Gabe. That's not a one for one. When you work overtime, you get time and a half. It's not, oh, you guys have to come in on Friday. You get to pick another day off. That ain't fair. It should be at least a day in an hour or 2 days, right? That's the trade-off. Are you with me?
In a regular job, sure, I'd be with you.
Gabe,
Working in a factory, time and a half makes sense.
I'll take the fall. Yes.
Working in a factory, time and a half makes sense. Working retail, time and a half, sure, you could talk me out of it. You rolling out of your bed and walking into your backyard to do a show for 2 hours, you think that's worth 2 days?
Yes. I'm thinking more of you, Gabe.
I'm thinking more of you.
You know what? My guess is it's going to be chilly. You got to drive to work early. It should be time and a half. Not just one for one. What are you doing here?
So what you want is extra pay. You don't think being able to take a day off to replace it is fair. You don't like that option.
Josh, I don't want extra pay because I don't even know if I get paid. I just think I should, on Monday, be able to leave after 8 o'clock. There's no game on Sunday. Just do an hour and I'm done.
Why would you even do the hour when they're offering you not to work any of the hours in the future?
I didn't think of that.
So if you wanted to, you could just have off a Monday.
I could, I guess. I don't know. It's not a one for one trade.
I always feel really awkward around these conversations because we work jobs many people would do a lot for. We sit here, you guys talk about ketchup for an entirety of a show.
Oh, we nailed that yesterday, by the way.
Ashton compares playoff teams to condiments. What we're doing here.
He kind of nailed it. I don't know if he really nailed it. I mean, it could have been better, right, Chu? Like, that list could have been better. We gave him one job.
This job is a privilege.
It was terrible. And so, of all people, who
wakes up, rolls out of bed, stops at the pool on the way to their little station there to do the show, I don't think we got a lot to complain about. Got to be honest.
Wow, you're saying a lot of people would love to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the reaction I get from my buddies is, it's always, well, you don't really work. What do you mean it don't really work?
Look,
I'm with them.
One of my best friends, I have been trying to defend myself for years with one of my best friends because she tells me that I don't have a real job. That I don't really work. I don't have a real job. So I have been fighting this fight, Chewy, for years.
Really? We're not going to win?
No. It doesn't seem like it. I haven't won yet. If I come up with something that seems like it might win me the argument with my friend, I'll let you know and you can use it on your friends.
Chewy, you worked the tobacco fields. That's like 50% of your personality.
Yeah, but I would go back to working in the tobacco fields twice a week. Because it's fun. I like that stuff. I like.
You are not. You have the opportunity to do that stuff, and you don't.
I'm guessing there's a bit of nostalgia involved with this, right? Like, you were young,
totally.
You're looking back. Yeah. I'm guessing at the time, you are MFing people in those fields. Like, I can't believe this guy's making me do this. I'm guessing you were not happy about having to pick tobacco as a youth.
I can tell you this. I can tell you both this. I ain't going back to playing football. That is over. Forget it. I would rather go back and work in tobacco fields than go play football, unless I could just play on Sundays.
So that's the one thing.
Do you believe me?
I do believe
you. You guys don't understand the stress in the, so much anymore, but the yelling and just crushing losses.
Well, not just that, but
when you think about it, I had one good day in my life in professional football. That's it. When you look at it, when you break it down, I had one great day.
I am going to go ahead.
Would you agree?
No, I'm going to call BS on that.
Why?
The day you were drafted to the NFL.
No, the Super Bowl. Winning the Super Bowl was the one good day.
You're the first loser if you don't win it all. Right?
You're telling me that when Brett dove into the end zone at County Stadium and you were there to tackle him, you're telling me that wasn't fun? You're going to tell me that wasn't a good day?
Yeah, but ultimately, Gabe, it just comes down to one great day. That's it.
No, that is such BS.
One great day when you're in ecstasy and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we did it.
Because here's the thing. Of all the stories you have told us, and you have told us so many great stories, and you, without a doubt, had fun in your career. Were there times where it was stressful? Were there times that, yes, you were the designated yell guy and Holmgren got after your ass? Absolutely. But even after you won the Super Bowl, you were kind of like, oh, is this it? And you were disappointed because Reggie wouldn't let you have booze in the locker room. You guys didn't really have a big party afterwards. I don't even think if you were to rank the best days of your NFL career, and you were giving me a top five, I would have assumed before this conversation that winning Super Bowl 31 wouldn't have even been in the top five.
Number one, you're wrong. We did have a big party. And the one takeaway.
I thought you guys didn't. Away, I thought you had to get back here right away.
I'll give you. There were two parties. All right. So I had my private one on Bourbon Street after.
Oh.
Family, friends.
You, and I didn't Brett realize had you had his a private. At our,
yeah, Brett had one down the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Brett's was probably like on Bourbon Street, I would say, half mile away. So the plan was to meet up at Brett's. So we went down to Brett's, and we got a ride in a police car.
Why not?
And the cop was going like 60 miles an hour down a parallel road to Bourbon Street. And I was scared with sirens blazing. So then we go up there, and I'll never forget, you know, Brett, I love him, but he was like a 3-beer drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Took a potted plant because people were throwing beads, this, and took a potted plant. And before I could grab him, he dropped it over the balcony. People got out of the way, and then people started grabbing the leaves on the potted plants as memorabilia. Because, and it looked like Charlie Brown Christmas tree when they were done with it.
Because this was the potted plant that Brett Favre dropped at his post-Super Bowl
yes.
party.
I'm like, what are you doing, you wacko? He's like, look at the people. They love the leaves. I'm going to sign one of those later. And that's what I remember. Other than the plane ride home, when it was snowing and it was a little rocky, we were on a 747 maybe coming into Green Bay before the parade.
Okay.
And everyone in the back, we had a pillow fight. So if you look, there were like 60
what?
Pillows flying just on the back of the plane with nobody with their seatbelts on. The stewardess is yelling at us. I mean, we won the Super Bowl, Gabe.
You guys had a pillow fight to celebrate?
Pillow fight.
Those are the things I remember. Yes.
Which is awesome. Which is great.
Yes.
And I also don't believe that you only had one great day at work.
I'm talking great, great. You got to go great. Great. Yes. Yes. Now, there was pockets of fun. There were pockets of fun. Yeah.
You've shared so many different stories of, yes, those pockets of fun.
Yeah, there's somebody who's worked in a foundry for 30 years listening to this wanting to rip their hair out. You're in the back pillow fighting with your buds. And they're sweating in front of a hot furnace. Trying to keep their
you
arms.
You guys are overlooking. You're overlooking the soreness. You're overlooking the broken bones. You're overlooking the surgeries.
I'm not. And that's why I believe you when you said you wouldn't go back because of the hell you did put your body through. I'm just the only part I am calling BS on
is that
you had because and obviously we joke about it probably too much, but like the brain trauma that you also suffered. Like I completely understand you not wanting to go back, especially at in your mid-50s at this point. But also, I think you had more than one good day at work.
I think the brain trauma made me the deep thinker I am today, though, now that I think of it.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, he makes fun of it, so like it. Then we have
and
to.
And then I'm laughing because it's such an absurd thing to say.
Make fun
I'm
of it. Laughing. You guys make fun of it every Friday at 8:30.
And we test it. We don't make fun of it. We test
you
it.
Do test
we
it.
Test
yeah,
it.
We're
which
keeping
is really,
sharp.
Yeah, we're trying to make sure it's still all there.
Head on the back to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good on us for helping you up. You know what? You're welcome.
Yeah, until the day you're like, he went 0-for-5 4 weeks in a row. I think it's time for him to hang it up. I don't trust either one of you guys. So don't pat yourselves on the back.
Well, we won't too hard. Jason Wilde joins us to talk a little green and gold. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us 3 times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Sup, dude?
Wait, it's a Dude Tuesday?
Dude Tuesday!
Yep.
Pause.
I feel more manly already.
It's Michigan, Ohio State. A lot of interviews.
Oh, that's true. Where Jen's the at, big Jason. Game, as they call it. Yeah,
the big game. Jason, I'm going to get right to it. Sorry. Okay, and I wasn't able to listen to your show yesterday.
You're never able to listen to our show.
Who yeah, I do. No, I listen more than you think.
Which realistically, Chewy, if you listened at all, would probably be more than Jason thought.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Perfect. All right, let me stop.
No, I love listening. I love listening when you have Homer on every Wednesdays. That's about when I'm getting my chicken sandwich after lunch, and I sit there and listen for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, but with that being said, Jason, time anyone said that. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I heard Tausch on the post game. I know he's from Wisconsin. He played for the Badgers in Wisconsin. It's okay to upset the Toads. It's not. How in God's green earth can he sell that they're the second best team in the NFC? Did you have that discussion on your show yesterday?
Yeah. So we don't have a lot of spirited disagreement on our show, largely because I don't have many opinions. We kind of had a version of that yesterday. And because he was kind of talking about teams that would scare him or concern him, he just is a full out all on believer in this team despite its warts, and I am not there. In fact, you know, I think what got us started was me saying that, look, it's great that they beat the 49ers or what was left of the 49ers on Sunday. But look at the standings. They are the sixth seed right now, and unless they win some pretty critical games, including at Detroit and at Minnesota, they're most likely going to stay in that sixth spot. And I believe they are a better team this year than they were last year, and yet I also believe that there's a chance that they will have gotten further in the postseason last year than they will this year. And one of the reasons is right now, if the season ended today, they'd be the sixth seed and the NFC West champs would be the three seed. And so they would go to whoever that is. Now, do I have any nervousness about them going to Arizona and winning? I don't. I think they would. I'm not sold on Arizona. They're tied for the division lead with Seattle. We're going to find out what they can do when they go to Seattle, because they've got a game in Seattle on December 15th. But if the 49ers have Brock Purdy, have Nick Bosa, have Trent Williams, and have home field, at best, that's a toss-up. That's a tough game to play. And I don't care if the Packers are going to have a better season record. If they have to go to San Francisco, because I don't think they're winning the division, so I think they're going to be playing on the road. That's a tall order. And I don't care how much better you think the Packers are this year. I don't care how much better the Packers may be if they were playing on a neutral field or at home. I just think that the road is a challenge for them, because they're not going to be able to win their division unless they win a week from Thursday in Detroit, and then at least they've opened up that possibility. So I think they're a good team. I don't think they're better than Detroit. I don't think they're better than Philly. And until they prove otherwise, I understand that all of us are skeptics about Minnesota, but I don't think they're better than Minnesota. And I don't know what Washington is right now, right? I'm still trying to figure them out. I don't know if you are. But, I mean, they've had a game they had no business winning, right, because of the Hail Mary and the Tyreek Stevenson trash talk during the play. And then they also had a game that they probably should not have lost, which was this past game to the Cowboys. So that's a team I don't really know. I would think the Packers are better than them, but the second best, they're not even the second best team in the NFC, much less in the NFL.
So with that in mind, Jason, I'm nervous about this game just because of the whole scheduling quirk of okay, you have the Lions upcoming the following Thursday, but now you have a short week. Obviously, that Lions game is big. This as one that the Packers could overlook Miami because, well, I mean, Tui's got it right. He's never won when the temperature's under 40 degrees. Miami hasn't been very good this year. But this is, to me, a very easy opponent to overlook because you're getting excited about that opportunity to play in Detroit a week from Thursday.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Now, again, with that said, like, I don't think this team is particularly susceptible to that from a psychological standpoint. Like, I think that they are, especially because they're such a young team. You know, Chewy, you know this. Like, and they've started doing this too now. I've noticed in the locker room, they're starting to put up those magnetic signs on the metal doors again, like they used to during various weeks. Which LaFleur had not done for most of his time. But I still feel like because they're such a young team, like, I don't want to call it a fear, but that's the best I can do right now. There's a fear of, I don't want to get in trouble by overlooking this team, or I don't want to get in trouble by doing this or that. I just don't think that they're like veteran teams that can sometimes fall into that and not play at a fever pitch. Now, that doesn't mean they're not susceptible to losing on Thursday night, but I just don't think they're wired that way. I really, you know, I was around those, you know, when you guys were going to Indianapolis and playing an 0-10 team that had Tony Mandarich at right tackle. I mean, I could see overlooking that team, right? I don't see this team overlooking Tua and the Dolphins coming in here on Thanksgiving.
But Jason, does no Jair scare you a little bit with their weapons?
Yeah, of course it does. And again, I wish I understood all that was going on there because, you know, Jair comes out and says, you know, he had 21 days between that Jacksonville game and then trying to play against the Bears, and he couldn't go past 10 plays. And so he says, I'm going to need more than 21 days. Well, that puts us into maybe he could play in Seattle, but if it's more than 21 days that he needs, now you're looking at like the Saints game on Monday Night Football if it doesn't get flexed out of that spot, or maybe even playing in Minnesota on the 29th. Like, if this is going to be what his road to health looks like, Matt LaFleur said he doesn't think they have to put him on injured reserve, but who the hell knows when they're going to have him? They're obviously not going to have him this week, and I don't know how many teams have truly tested their secondary. And I'm not saying that their secondary isn't really good, right? Because I am a huge Xavier McKinney believer. I'm a huge Evan Williams believer. I think that Carrington Valentine is an up-and-coming good player. I think Keyshawn Nixon has proven that he is a better corner than we thought when we just thought he was a nickel guy and a return guy. But this group, I mean, come on. You want to be tested, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much they are up to that test. I really don't without Jair.
Jason, a big talking point for the Packers has been their success in the red zone. And now in the last two games, they're at 80%. They are 8 for their last 10. Is it fixed, or is this a two-game hot streak?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't know, but I would say this.
Jason, this isn't yes or no on Sundays. Like, come on, man. Like, we get an I don't know, and I gave you an either or. It wasn't a yes or no.
I try to be honest, but you know, I do think that the difference in these two games has been as simple as avoiding the stuff that has derailed them time and time and time again. And Chewy knows this. They always seem to get a penalty in the red zone, and they always seem to have a negative play where they lose like 5 yards, right? Like that handoff in Chicago to
Jaden Reed.
I mean, it wasn't really an end around. He lined up next to Love in the shotgun. But like that was a I don't know why they felt the need to putz around there, right? I mean, I do think this. I think that they have rediscovered, hey, you know what? We got this pretty darn good running back that if we just give him the ball and we don't get cute, we're always going to be moving forward and we're going to be in a position to score more consistently in the red zone, right? Because, look, they did that. They actually did that in Chicago on the series that we just talked about, right? The first play there, I believe, was a 9-yard gain. A handoff to Josh Jacobs. And so if you give the ball to Jacobs, you don't get called for holding, and you avoid getting too cute and getting yardage losses, you can be a pretty – guess what? You got a pretty good quarterback and pretty good skill position, guys. You can be a better red zone team than you've been.
Jason, always go ahead, Shu.
Jason, I see Pro Bowl voting opened up, and Gabe, you know, Gabe always talks about superstars on this team, and he thinks they're lacking a little bit. Are they just going to have two Pro Bowl players in Josh Jacobs and McKinney?
Probably.
They could have an offensive lineman, right, Jason? Like Elgton Jenkins or Zach Tom could have a chance of getting in there?
They could. I mean, I don't know how Zach Tom is viewed around the league, right? I mean, we know how Penei Sewell is viewed, for example. I don't know, and frankly, I don't know enough about other right tackles around the league that would be in that competition, or you know, and that's the other drawback of playing right tackle. Have they changed that, Gabe? Because Tausch and Bulaga and those type, or Earl Dotson, you know, they just never had a chance. Like when people vote for tackles, they always vote for left tackles, other than Sewell. I think Sewell will get in no matter what. But look, they've got some guys that are pretty darn good football players, obviously. But they clearly don't have a wide receiver that's going to go anywhere. They, as much as we all love Tucker Kraft as a young Mark Chimura, there's too many good tight ends, and he's got another year or two before he can show that he deserves that. And then on defense, like, none of their front four, or really front seven, are anywhere near being considered for that. Jair is out of the mix again now. So I think I would be surprised if Jacobs and McKinney didn't make it, but outside of an offensive lineman, like you said, Gabe, there's just and look, I don't think you have to have superstars to be good, but it sure as heck helps. And at some point,
you need superstars to be great. You need superstars to be great.
And we just got done talking about the red zone. Like they, you know, remember when Davante Adams in that game in Dallas? It's during the Rodgers era. It was the moment that Rodgers, and this is, again, not to get sidetracked, but this is exactly why they didn't have to cut Jordy Nelson. Because everybody on that freaking roster knew that Devontae was the man at this moment. 2017, they're driving for the go-ahead touchdown. They're in, like, the tight red zone, inside the 10-yard line. Devontae runs a route. It's incomplete. Rodgers goes to him. Devontae comes back to the huddle and says, let's run that play again. Throw a better ball to Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers does, and they win the game. And I can't remember if Devontae threw the ball in the stands or off the wall or whatever it was. But, like, that was it. Game over. He's the man, which is, you know, and Goody always told me that he thought that, you know, having Jordy around was going to stunt Devontae's growth as the number one receiver, which was complete crap, because that was the moment. And Rodgers knew it. Everyone on that team knew it. And now, while they have some very good young wide receivers, they don't have that guy that does that. And that's, to me, that's another thing that has to develop in the coming year, is who is him. And I don't know who that's going to be, but boy, was that fun when Devontae Adams did that.
Yeah, I was hoping it would happen throughout the course of this year, Jason, but to your point, we obviously have not seen that guy. We've seen guys step up for different games, but then they seemingly disappear the following couple of weeks. We appreciate the time, buddy. You know, usually we talk to you Thursday, Friday, so we won't talk to you Thursday with no show, so have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, guys, and tell Keith happy Thanksgiving for me.
Most certainly will.
Take care. Be good.
Change the way you do business and take more control with the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their expertise, their market expertise, and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for you and your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold you can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no. Cold can be good. Involved. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy, what are the challenges when you're playing on a short week like this? Because you're coming off of a big win. Obviously, the emotions are high. And, I mean, I think we all talk about, like, that 24-hour rule, right? Oh, hey, you've got 24 hours to enjoy this. But, you know, and usually it's even less than 24 hours because you got to be back in the building the next day. And you're watching film, getting your workouts in. But it's even more different when you win a game on Sunday. You know, you get done with the game at 6:30, 7 o'clock, whatever it is on Sunday night. And now you've got to turn around, and the next day is, it's like a Thursday. You know, it's a Thursday on a Monday because you're playing that following Thursday. So you have to hit that ground running, getting ready for an uncommon opponent in the Miami Dolphins.
It's kind of a give and take because you're excited during the week because, you know, practice is just going to be kind of a joke, right? Because you're still beat up. Now we're at the point in the season, and obviously the today's game is not as physical as it was when we played.
Mm-hmm.
This part in the season, 11 games in, you're not getting over your soreness until Thursday, right? Thursday, maybe Friday. So that's the tough part because your body, you're not feeling 100%. You know, it's kind of, you know how I talk about the beginning of the season, Gabe, when you go to training camp, you should be at 100% and it whittles down.
Yeah.
Well, you can do the same thing in season week to week.
Throughout the course of the week.
Where you're like, okay, Monday I feel like crap. Tuesday I feel like crap. Wednesday starting to feel better. Thursday, okay. And then by the time, if you're playing Sunday to a Sunday, it's like by Sunday you're like, okay, I feel pretty good. Thursday, you're still like, that's the tough thing. That's the tough thing. Because I think an interesting thing in this game, and I think it was Rob that brought it up, I was surprised how many carries Josh Jacobs got.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of any position on the field, your running backs get beat up the most. They are the sorest. They take the longest to get over that. So when the game was in hand, kind of, you would think they would have pulled them. Right?
Yeah, he had 26 carries in the game on Sunday.
Did he need to have 26? Did he need to have 26? Because the game was pretty much in hand.
I mean, so it was 24-10 at the start of the fourth quarter. So 14-point lead, after you score to make it a 3-touchdown game, right? Once you get to 31-10, then it's, to me, more put away.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to sleepwalk
your way. Go
ahead.
You're going to see a little more Emmanuel Wilson because, you know, you have a week because you're going Thursday to Thursday.
Yeah.
But the formula, I believe, to beat Detroit or at least stay close is to control the clock and have a running game where you're keeping that offense off the field. Because if you're going one more week without Jair or whatever and you're playing – probably close to the number one offense in the league in Detroit, you can't give them possessions because if you do, it's going to get away. And I wanted to ask Jason a follow-up. I'm like, look, I love what the offensive line is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what Josh Jacobs is doing. But this passing game is, and they got time. There's time. But it's got to get going, right? Are you with me?
So I am.
Right now it's just okay.
I am with you. But Josh had passed along a couple of articles from our guy Justice Mosqueda over at Acme Packing Company. Where I can see it. You know, even if you just dive into the raw numbers, we don't have to get into the advanced analytics that Justice had. The Packers chew, like, this is to me the epitome of efficiency. The Packers are 26th in the NFL in pass attempts, but they're 11th in passing yards. So what that says to me is when they don't pass it a ton because they're fourth in rushing attempts. They want to run the football. The identity of the Green Bay Packers in 2024 is running
fine.
The football. Yeah, I've got zero issue mm-hmm. with that. But when they do throw
it,
they've been pretty efficient. Because if you're 26th in attempts but 11th in yards, like, you're getting chunk plays when you do throw the football. And I guess that gives me excitement that, hey, if they can just even pick up these inconsistencies, not solve them completely, but just pick it up a little bit, that could even click you into another gear.
And I'm putting it more on the receivers than I am Jordan Love. I mean, the numbers look a lot different if Watson catches the ball. I mean, if everyone's catching the ball, right? You're going to have drops in mm-hmm. a game. But you can't have that many drops in big plays like that because they come back and get you. Especially when you get into single elimination games. You lose and you're done. You know?
At what point do I give up hope that that's going to be fixed in 2024? Because it
11
seems,
games into the season, that's
dropping what I'm
saying. This many balls? I don't know.
I'm almost resigned. And I could be, like, maybe they do fix it, which is why I'm asking you. But 11 games into the season, I just feel almost resigned that this is going to be a part of this passing team's identity, that they're going to drop footballs. Because I was hoping that we were past, you know, like you said, you're going to drop some balls from time to time. But I was hoping that we were past the drop that Christian Watson had. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Like, that's not a dart coming
that's
at
hard.
You at 100 miles an hour as you're running a slant and the middle linebacker's coming at you, so you've got to catch it, but keep an eye on that guy so you don't get crushed. You are running away from everybody. It is perfectly in your breadbasket, and it just goes through your hands. But apparently we're not past that, because it happened.
No, I think just some guys don't have great hands. I mean, you can practice it. I don't know the reps they're getting. I don't know how much they do about it. I mean, whenever I felt like, God, I'm just not dialed in, you know,
mm-hmm.
I go to the machine. And not standing around jugs, not just sitting there catching balls. You got to do it on the move, because everything you do on a game in a game is on the move. You know, it's like, Gabe, if it's like golf, striping your driver. Your long irons are great. Your putter's hot, but your wedge sucks. Mm-hmm. What do? You go right to the range, right?
Yep.
Just take out that wedge.
But you also
don't leave until you think you got the problem solved.
Well, yeah, but to that point, like, I'm not just going to sit there and hit wedge after wedge after wedge. Like, I will to try to get a feel, but then to make sure I've got mm-hmm. it down, like, I've got to hit a driver, then hit a wedge. Oh, I'm going to hit an iron, yeah. then hit a wedge, because. You don't just go out to the golf course and, oh, yeah, I'm just going to hit 10 wedges in a row. So that's same thing to your point. Like, you just can't – maybe if you want to sit there and kind of catch a couple to warm up, but then you got to be on the move and catching those balls. And, look, I think that these issues can eventually be resolved. We've seen Romeo Doubs have some really tough catches. I look at what Devontae Adams did from his second year when he had the dropsies in the career that he had. Not saying that anybody's going to be a potential Pro Football Hall of Famer out of this group, but it just shows that, okay, you had a rough second year. That's something that you can improve. That's something you can fix. I just don't know, because we continuously see it week after week, despite them the last 2 weeks having 17 pass attempts in 24 pass attempts. Is that what Jordan Love had? Was it 23 or 24? It wasn't a ton. It was under 25. Mm-hmm. I know that. So you're not throwing the ball a ton, and yet those drops are still there. So I at this point, I almost feel resigned that, hey, the drops are going to happen, and hopefully they just don't happen at inopportune times in the red zone on third down.
Now, there is something to the fact that what you think the easy balls are tougher to catch, mm-hmm. and that's true. But that's a concentration thing. You know, the reason you see a lot of these guys make tough catches is because they don't have time to think about it. I mean, that ball to Watson is in the air for a long time. And I'm telling you, when you get a ball like that, it's like, it's coming and you got time and you're like, oh, this is the primetime game in front of a packed stadium. I have to catch this. I have to catch it. And then you drop it. As opposed to like, zip, zip. I didn't even have time to think that this is a national game in a packed stadium and a big catch. Because if you look at a lot of their drops, like Dobbs's drops, he's open.
Yeah.
He's open.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not a tough catch, you know. Sometimes you just got to get your brain out of the way.
All right. I don't
which
know
is what... hard to do for some guys. I mean, it was easy for me, right?
Well, okay.
Say that again,
brother. Right. If you're going to sit there and toot your own horn.
Hey, I don't need lip from you, all right?
If you're going to sit there and toot your own horn, then I've got to ask the follow-up that I wasn't going to ask. I was going to be nice, but now you're going to be like, oh, yeah, this wasn't tough for me. All right, so you're talking about that ball that Christian Watson dropped. You're telling me you had a ball like that in your NFL career where you're 40 yards downfield, you're catching a bomb?
Go to college. I was rocking.
Yeah.
I had about five of those in college.
I believe it. Bumbled in college.
One, got it back.
I believe it in college. Did you?
No, I had some. Serious, I had a in long one against New England that was in the air. Yeah.
In all seriousness, did you have, I mean, how many of those did you have as a tight end in the 90s? Because even like tight ends in the 90s were just used completely different than they are now.
Yeah, but Gabe, you've seen, you know, corner of the end zone where it's a deception play and I'm sitting there in the corner of the end zone. I mean, granted, it's from the 5 yard line.
Oh,
but that thing's lobbed up and you're like,
yeah, because Brett doesn't want to, like, he doesn't want to mess it up because you're so wide open. So he just kind of takes a little off of it instead of trying to zip it in there.
Here's a quiz for you. If you had to guess, what was your longest reception in your NFL career?
33?
38. Exactly, 33.
Oh.
38? Yeah.
33 in 95, longest time.
Oh, your breakout year.
Against New England. I remember the play exactly.
And then
and it was Brett just literally zipped it between the two safeties, and it barely got there.
In 97,
now I body caught it, which is a little easier.
In 97, you had a 32, just 1 yard shy of your long.
Who was? Oh, that was against Carolina, I think.
There you go.
You know what's amazing? I can recall that play
because
the play was supposed to go to Derek Mays.
The amazing.
But that was a bing bing, and I kind of snatched it out of the way. I'm like, why'd you throw that so hard, Brett? Because he goes, it wasn't going to you, you moron. It's going to someone else. Like, sorry.
Oops. All right, I guess I'll just give the 33 yards back. My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I can't help it if I was 32. I took that and ran into the end zone from 32. I would have went for 109 on that
play. It just happened to be short. Yeah. I mean, it was a short field.
Yeah.
It should have been longer. Should have been longer. Yes, you're right. That's not on you. Joshy, well, and to a lesser extent, me, because you brought this up. But Joshy, I mean, he's got more responsibilities. I mentioned my Thanksgiving. It's just going to be very small. My parents, an uncle, a friend going to be coming over, joining me and my wife. But Joshy's going to have his family, his girlfriend's family. What advice does Chewy have for Josh, who is hosting his first Thanksgiving? We dive into that coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron in the Keywagon saying, you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Turkey Day just a couple of days away. And our boy Joshy, how long have you lived there now? What, 6, 7 months? 8 months?
Yeah, I think we moved in May or June.
Beautiful. I mean, it's a great spot where you guys are currently living, where you and your girlfriend live. Great spot. And apparently it's been deemed good for hosting, as you and your girlfriend are hosting not just her family, but also your family, both families coming together for Thanksgiving on Thursday. How did this come about? Whose idea was this?
I think sort of maybe mine a little bit on accident, which is a thing I sort of regret now, seeing as will be hosting not only Thanksgiving, a sort of Friendsgiving, which I got no one on my own list invited to. That was, I had nothing to do with. And then a Christmas
wait,
as
wait,
well.
Wait. I thought you were anti-Friendsgiving.
Very
I thought
much
you were
so
all like, you didn't want to be associated with anyone who was hosting a Friendsgiving,
correct.
Anybody who has ever been to a Friendsgiving. You wanted to disassociate. And now you are hosting a Friendsgiving?
Gabe, you got all that correct.
Okay.
All that right. information is correct. I've had no say in any of that. The Thanksgiving might be so a little bit on it, me.
Is it combined? Is it the family and the friends?
No, Thanksgiving is on Thanksgiving. Friendsgiving is the following Saturday, I believe. I have very little details
on
that.
That's ridiculous. It's over. After the 27th? Put it to bed. There's no more. Friendsgiving has to take place before the family one.
You're preaching to the choir right now, man. I'm in lockstep with you right
here. I know that.
But yes, so, we're combining the families for the first time ever. Our house is sort of a central location for all the different families.
Wait, so how is this your fault?
Because I was like, I mean, well, we've got a lot more space than we used to. I, like, suggested it. But then I realized, like, everyone was really all over that idea. And there's extenuating circumstances that have caused it to be, like, the place where it makes sense for everyone to go. It's just, my house can't have it. My mom had a knee replacement surgery, so that kind of knocks them out because you can't be standing in front of an oven cooking stuff with that. It's just, there's a whole bunch of whole scenarios. The thing is, I've been given virtually no responsibilities on Thanksgiving.
Wait, so this is your fault and you don't have anything to do? Go ahead.
Can I give them some advice?
Please.
Uh-huh. Here's what you do, Josh, okay? Because I'm with you. But I would think the ultimate goal is to have your girlfriend's family leave, friends, siblings, parents, and say, God, that Joshy is just a helpful, nice guy. And here's some little things you can do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, say the blessing if you do that stuff. The in-laws love that, okay? Make sure everyone's wine glass or whatever they're having is full. Can I get you another one? There's things you can do without expending a lot of energy to come out of this thing like a rock star, okay? Clear a few plates, you know, and you're good. You're good because you said you're not in charge of any of the cooking, right?
Nope.
Like nothing?
But you can walk around and taste the gravy and be like, wow, this is fantastic, you know? This is like
you imagine
wonderful.
Me taking a spoonful of gravy, just been.
Well, I mean, not a whole spoonful, but you know, you get this, just a little bit on the spoon, and just a little. Oh, that's really good,
Gabe. Wouldn't you say that's the ultimate goal, though?
Oh,
for
absolutely.
His girlfriend's family to walk out of there and say, "Wow, you got a rock star."
Look,
there.
I'm not the person to ask when it comes to in-laws. I have been around my mother-in-law 3 or 4 times. I've been around my father-in-law twice. That's it. Once was for the wedding.
Yeah. I'll do it.
That's it. So I barely interact with my in-laws. And in fact, like I can't really communicate with my mother-in-law because she doesn't
language.
Speak English. Yes. She understands a little bit of English, but doesn't really speak English.
Yeah, but see, it's why, Gabe, you could go in there and just learn a little bit of Spanish, some taglines, and she'd be like, wow, I'm impressed. He knows Spanish. I can communicate.
I mean, I did want to do that, but turns out I don't have a ton of spare time.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of spare time to be picking up the extra language.
Which means, because I already heard from the big lerp, you have to negotiate better. Your negotiating skills are not great. Because if you're working on Thanksgiving, that's definitely 2 days.
I'm working.
Now, I get a day and a half for working the day out.
I'm working Thanksgiving. I'm working Black Friday. I've signed up for all of that. I know what I've gotten. No, I do not.
Do you think Chewy acting as your agent would be better or worse for your career?
Initially better.
I mean, hold on. Initially, meaning I'd get him more money, but you're getting fired at some point.
See? He knows.
So he knows. In the end, it's less money.
Initially.
He'll have a good year or two.
Yes.
Eventually, eventually, I'm going down in flames. I would understand that if I signed up to have Chewy be my agent. Yes.
So basically, Chewy, your advice to me is be a butler.
Yes, but pick your spots where you don't have to do a lot of work.
I mean, don't put on, okay, you know, the bow tie, but yeah.
What I'm wearing right now is probably not going to be all that different from what I'm wearing on thing. We're not a dress-up family. Not really that. That's not really a thing we do. A hoodie will probably get it done. But there's an aspect of me that feels bad, but I'm not trusted in the kid. I'm capable. I could. But between, there is multiple people who are all cooking, and they have things that they're good at. So, like, past me going and, like, carving up my own charcuterie board to add to the hors d'oeuvres, I don't really know what else I could do. But
Josh,
if it's bring drinks,
Josh,
and clear, let me tell you, I'll be the one doing the dishes, as I've,
no,
I've learned here.
What,
I mean, the only one who's done the dishes for about a calendar year.
Josh, Josh, what your future mother-in-law is bringing for food, you got to have double. You got to get two servings of it. Okay. Just little things like that. This is outstanding. Would you mind if I got a little more? No, help yourself.
Yeah, just be on your P's and Q's. Although at this point, your in-laws kind of know who you are at this point.
Yes. The problem is if I act too out of the ordinary, they're going to be like, what the hell is his deal?
Yeah.
I mean, just a couple of weekends ago.
They just go in the kitchen as your girlfriend's making food. Hey, why the hell is Josh being so nice?
Yeah, I mean, just like 3 weekends ago, her dad and I were on the golf course taking shots of Fireball, like at 4. It would be very out of character for me to be overly.
But I mean, if you're slinging drinks, like, okay, I think you can sling the drinks.
I could do that.
I think you got. I think that's your responsibility. Speaking of which, Colin says, Josh, you make sure you have plenty of bourbon in stock. You're gonna need it. Hour 2, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy starts in 2 minutes.